Proverbs chapter 18. Good to see each one of you today. It's glad that everybody came out yesterday to help Brother Daniel get over the hill. it's a lot of hard work to get there. And so it just goes faster after this. I think everybody that's beyond that point can tell you it just goes faster and faster. So, but I agree with Brother Daniel. You know, he's a blessed man. We're all a blessed people. Mm-hmm. And we should always remember that. Don't let that become common to you. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Very familiar scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. I also want to read from Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Our hearts to him, Lord, we just want to take this time now. Give it to you, Lord, just knowing that you're here among your people. You're here as you promised. And so, Lord, we just open our hearts to you and just pray that you would have your way among us this morning. That as you've done so many times, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, just encourage us. And just, Lord, to help us to be as your sheep, to be fed at your hand this morning. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for everything that you've done, what you've provided for us. We give honor to you and praise to you this morning. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. So glad we still live in a land where we can do this.
Amen.
And do it. And don't know how much longer this is going to be, but you see the forces working and know what's in the hearts. You know, I love the Word. And I probably say this a lot more all the time at work when I'm talking to people, but you know, the Catholic Church, you know, they martyred a lot of people. They even kept record of it, on martyrology. And in the scriptures it said that God gave them space to repent and they repented not. So I tell people, I don't care what it looks like today, it's still in their heart to persecute people. And so we know that we live in a time where things are changing. And we know that Satan, from the scriptures, that the beast is going to be given just a little short period of time to rule this earth before he's destroyed completely. God allows that.
Yeah.
But God allows a person, and even Satan, to do what's in their heart. Because he can't judge you unless you do it. But he lets people just hang themselves, I guess, you know, as the phrase goes. But anyway, so before I get started, I just wanted to just kind of remind everyone or just encourage everyone because of the message we have and a great testimony. You know, the scripture says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Well, God sends people into this earth with experiences, and their purpose is to tell others about it. And so it's by the testimonies we share with one another and the things that God does in our lives that we share that we all draw strength from. And that's it. This is our stepping stone. This is how we, you know, the Bible is testimonies. And so, you know, if you haven't listened, you can go out onto different places on the web, believers' testimonies in different places, and listen to some of the testimonies of eyewitnesses of people that, you know, we're with Brother Branham. We're familiar with some of them ourselves, personal friends. But go listen to them. Go listen to Brother Biscoe's I Am a Witness. Go listen to Brother Perry Green's testimony. And there's several there, but I recommend one when he went to Cloverdale. It's a several-part series, I think. Go there and listen to those. And listen to what these men tell you, how they came to know, and they saw the gift, and they saw that dead-on accuracy every time. How did this man do this and know these things?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so just go look at it, because God sent these things for a reason. He wants you to know what this message has brought to you. I was telling someone yesterday, I said, if you were on a deserted island, shipwrecked, you'd been there for a long time, maybe a lot of us, let's just say we were all there, and a ship come along and found us, pulled up there and dropped out his, whatever they call that, plank or whatever, and was there to pick us up, I don't think any of us would be playing around about getting on the board of that ship. Right? Right? We wouldn't miss it. And brother, sister, that's what this is. This is the final phase of what God's doing among Gentiles. He will turn to the Jews after this. There's a great thing coming there. But once he's done with Gentiles, that's it.
That's right.
For Gentiles. And this is it. And, you know, I know people can say all through the ages, well, this is it and there's no more truth. That's not what we're saying. The word itself indicates that we've arrived at this last stage, because the end product of this move is not just adding sanctification to justification or something like that. The end product of this final stage is a body change for the Gentile believers.
Right.
That's what it is. And so we want to just, you know, and so go out there and listen to those, because they're wonderful testimonies. Men that experience things that you and I probably, most of us, won't experience until our body change. Supernatural things, you know. So be good for you to do that. And I recommend those two, but there's plenty of other testimonies, and they're all those testimonies are all the same. Mm-hmm. They're all the same. When I say all the same, they testify to the accuracy and the humility and the back to the word of the gift that was there. And so just want to encourage you that. This morning I want to speak to you about a city of refuge, end time city of refuge. And so you just pray that I can get this airplane up in the air. Amen. So, you know, the message didn't come to change the image of the Bible. The Bible portrayed an image of the gospel to us, and the message came today. It did not come to change that image.
Right.
What the message came to do, we're familiar with how that as science progresses, you know, they progress just like God did with his revelation unfolding to people. We know about the, you know, horse and buggy, automobile, airplane, astronaut. Astronaut finally goes and leaves the gravity of the earth, and that's justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, and then rapture. Mm-hmm. And so Brother Rem taught us that how the science, you know, follows these discoveries science makes is in parallel to God bringing forth things. And so I just say that the message came to bring us into HD quality.
Right.
Yeah.
To bring it into high definition resolution. So that gift can say, look, it's not changing the Bible, but it's saying, because we've said so many times, this message made the Bible become a new book to us.
That's right.
Did to me. Mm-hmm. Caused me to see things that laying there that I had never seen before. And so you realize it can be hid to some people and revealed to others.
That's right.
Because I experienced it myself. That this Bible finally, it became a new book. Once I looked at it through the light of the message and what the message had brought, and it caused me to see things that were there and see greater details and see the way things fit together. You know, God is his own interpreter of his word, but also scripture interprets scripture.
That's right.
And to bring connections together that we never saw before. And the whole thing brings clarity to us, faith, because faith comes by hearing by the word. It's raising our faith to a level based upon what? A shout? No. Based upon the word, a revelation, a detailed revelation of knowing Christ the word in a way that nobody else could know. It only comes through intimate relationship with him, and he's brought that to us.
Yeah.
So it's HD quality. And so showing us greater details and different angles and looking at it from different ways. You know, I could be standing on a street watching a parade go by, and I could say, yeah, this parade where the elephant came and went from left to right. But if Brother Matthew was on the other side of the street, he might say, no, it didn't go left to right. It went right to left. Mm-hmm. And people can fight over things when they're actually looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
So it takes the clarity of the message to come along and bring us all so we see it from all the correct angles, and then we quit fighting.
Yeah.
Because we all are in one accord, one revelation. But you can't get that from getting your source from other different places and different religions and different commentaries and all that. We've got to come and receive it the way God has sent it, and then we'll see it through His eyes and not the different directions others have. And so that's what the message came to do. And then the ministry in the message, us, Brother Daniel, myself, and the different ones around the world, our job is to do exactly the same thing, is to not come along with something else, not to try and change the image of the Bible or image of what the message is, but to take the gift of God that we have in our lives and to try and focus you upon the details and the themes that have been brought forward that the message has brought. Say, hey, look here, look at the detail, look at this, look at this color difference here. Look in at this and see what God is saying here. That's what our job is,
right.
Is to bring you into this place. And the end product is that we might draw you right into the arms of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Not to bring you to ourselves, but to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you've probably heard it, but the ministers are really trying to, our job is to preach ourselves out of a job.
Yeah.
Because when your body changes, you're not going to need me and Brother Daniel.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And then when I was thinking about this a little earlier, I thought, but I hope that in eternity we can still preach the gospel to you and tell you about the good things of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout ages. Because brothers, sisters, they'll all be masterpieces when we get there if we can preach.
Amen.
Right? And so that's what we hope, and I maybe that's what it'll be. I know we'll be able to rejoice in our Savior, amen, all throughout eternity. And so that's to draw you to Christ, the Word, because the keeping power is in the Word.
That's right.
You know, my wife was telling me the other day, she said, I think it was last Sunday or whatever, she was going by, and it was a Baptist church, and the people were leaving, going from either the Fellowship Hall or the Sanctuary or whatever, and she said, all the women were in pants. She said, they fell. They used, just like all of them. Because when you leave the Word, you leave the keeping power.
Yeah.
And that's why the restoration at this end time, which we've talked about the other day, was right in the Bible, is to bring us back to the Word.
Yeah.
Because that's where it keeps us. Keeping power is in the Word. So we know prophets in the Scripture, prophets in the Old Testament, they were referred to as seers. They'd see visions. But we know them as prophets, and Brother Graham said New Testament word for prophet means preacher. But we're talking about seers, a word prophet. And we know that prophets foretell things.
Right.
They foretell future events. That's how you know that they're prophets. They can tell you things that you know they can't know, but what God would be telling them. And this is what the gift Brother Branham had, right? And I was raised around Pentecost, and I've seen all kinds of people, claiming things, whatever. And I've seen you have an abundance of people that will tell you after something happens, they'll tell you, oh, I knew that was coming. But how many times have you seen somebody actually tell you up front, thus saith the Lord, this will be thus and thus and thus, and before it ever happened? You don't see that. But Brother Graham did have that gift, right? He did. And so that's not to say that we can't somehow know things sometimes. God can do that. But you see, that's not our gift. That was His gift.
Right.
That it would do what it was to do. And so we all have our gifts, and God does inspire us and sometimes lets us see things coming before they get here and that sort of thing. But it's not our gift to try and establish ourselves as a seer. As a foreteller of things like that. That's not what it is.
No.
See, God gave that to us. And so prophets foretell things. And when they do, and they foretell things, and it comes to pass in advance, it gives you great confidence in what they're saying and the message they're delivering, because you know they're saying things that only God could give them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, there is a little side note to that, and that is that it is possible for God to allow someone to rise up and tell something and it come to pass to test you. So that if it comes to pass, but yet that person is trying to tell you, get away from God, go pull away from the Word, then God has allowed that to test you and see if you really love the Lord your God with all your heart. How many knows that scripture?
Yeah.
Right? So you can't just go just strictly alone on, hey, he told me something in advance and it come to pass just right. You can't just do that.
No.
But the full thing is the Word. Does
That's
it go right.
right
back to the Word and not change the image of the Scriptures?
That's
but only give it in greater detail. That's the thing that you have to watch for. And so we realize that, but I heard Brother Branham, we've heard it many times, he said, somebody said, well, if the angel of the Lord told you this about the Godhead, you know, or whatever it was, and I think in that case it was the Godhead, said, well, if the angel of the Lord told you this, okay, then we'll believe it, because they knew the, you know, the angel of the Lord in the camp. Brother Branham said, if the angel of the Lord came and told me something contrary to the Word, I wouldn't believe him. It wouldn't be the angel of the Lord.
Right.
How could God come and say something contrary to his own Word? See, and the Holy Spirit he's not a different person than the Word. He is the Word. It's the Spirit of truth. And so he can't anoint, he can't inspire something contrary to Scripture. So Brother Branham was right. He said, I wouldn't believe it. Even Paul knew this. Paul knew, said, listen to the Galatians. Or he said, if anybody comes and preaches any other gospel than what I've already delivered or what you've already heard, if somebody comes later, though we or an angel, he even put himself in there, come and preach something different, don't you hear it, right?
Yeah.
So Paul even said, if I change my mind and I come and try to tell you something different, don't you believe me,
mm-hmm.
right? Or if an angel from heaven comes and preaches something different, do not receive it.
Right.
And so it's always back to the Word. So when these prophets give forth future things, gives you confidence in the message that they give, and they give us warnings about things to come. They tell us how to prepare for those things that are to come and how to endure through those things that come. You know, and so there's a great thing there. You know, when the Scripture said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward.
Right?
He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward. The only righteous man ever lived was Jesus Christ. And if you'll receive him for what he is, then you get that same reward.
Yeah.
Right? But when he said, when you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. And we all wondered what that was. And they asked Brother Branham what that was. And it just blew my mind. I thought it was going to be some great something like that. And he said, here's what it is. The prophet's reward is to be a friend of the prophet.
Yeah.
It might come in handy someday. Brother, sister, that's the message. The entire message coming in handy for the bride, because without it, we're not getting out of here.
Right?
So, praise God for those things. So, he gives us confidence in those sorts of things. And so, you know, Brother Ben, he told us that the United States would have this money problem. Do we have one?
Yeah.
He knew what he's talking about, right? He talked about the racial division. Do we have that?
Yeah.
Right? It's all reared its head up again. It's all stirred up by people. We know that. And it's what he told us. He's talked about the gender blending, or people, men and women, you know, men acting like women, women acting like men. Told us about the hybrid foods and the effects of those things would be on our bodies.
Yeah.
He told us those things back then.
Right.
A lot of these things are doing now that he wasn't even developed yet.
Right.
He told us that both political parties were corrupt. You know, it wasn't but just a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that probably a lot of people thought that a certain political party that starts with an R was a good party.
Yeah.
But I tell you, in the last 6-8 years, we've found out they're all corrupt.
That's right.
None of them are for real good.
That's right.
See, he knew this, and he's telling us this. Why? He's a foreteller. So when you look at these things and see the things that he's shared with us, he told us the world is falling apart. Have you looked outside lately at all the things that are going on in the world? They've lost it. They have no more control of it.
Yeah.
And it's because they turned their back on the one who does have control.
Right.
So when you see these things, you realize that he's told us then if he was right about all those, then wouldn't he be right about what he tells us about bride and who the bride is and how to prepare and how to be ready? Wouldn't he be right about that? And that's the whole point, is that God sent a ministry like you know They came to Jesus and said, "We know you're a man sent from God because nobody's done these things like you've done."
Yeah.
Well, brother, sister, they have the same testimony today. I've told you many times in their own books, they write about the ministry of Wigan Branham. But it sparked them off to go out and pray for the sick because they saw what God did. And they would say that it was always correct, that he never missed it. He was always, the sermon was always right. So God has done in our day something that none of the rest of them have. So they all have to say, they should be coming and saying to Brother Branham, they should say, "We know that you're a prophet sent from God because God has to be with you to do these things." But they don't. Even though they testify, they say, "Well, don't listen to his doctrine." Right? Because his doctrine doesn't line up with their man-made teaching, but it lays right in the scriptures and gave us great HD quality of what's laying there in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thank God for that. So one of the things that Brother Bram told us was that this was a neurotic age and that people were under great pressure.
That's right.
I'll be reading a lot of quotes here, so you forgive me from letting off the pressure here, but I wanted to just zoom in on and show you a couple things Brother Bram said about it. So he told us that it was a neurotic age and the people were all under pressure. He tells us where it come from, who it affects, what it causes, and how to deal with it. And so, like I said, I'll be reading quite a few things here, so you forgive me, but it's good. So Brother Bram says, there is a pressure on people today, and that pressure has no limitations. It has no limitations or any denominational lines. It has no age lines. It has no respect of persons. It's on young and old, good and bad. It's on everybody, pressure. We're living in a neurotic age, nervous tension. Everybody is racing here and going there and going nowhere. It's just that to that kind of age. And I know this church would be plagued with it. He's speaking at Brother Reynolds' church. Says, "I know this church would be plagued with it." A church. People. Good, bad. And everywhere is plagued with it. The tabernacle's plagued with it. Everywhere. The whole world. It's a day of pressure. Hurry, 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 hurry up and wait. Drive 90 miles an hour to get to home for supper and then wait 2 hours till it gets ready. I mean, he's done that, right? He's talking to me because when I'm going somewhere, I want to get there.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be early.
Yeah.
Hope, when rapture times come, maybe I'll be the first. I'd like to be. Anyway. He said, that's right. It's a time, and in the rushing and speeding, it gets you to a nervous tension. The wife says something a little contrary, and you fly off with temper. Husband says something, you pat your foot and tell him, get in the other room. Kind of, how many's like, "Oh, that sounds like my house." See, "Well, husband, I don't want no words with you. Get out there." Wife says, "I'm so nervous. See, why? What's the matter?" He said, all this together, this tension is building up. And then the result of it is, what's the result of all this tension? He just gave us a little example there. The result is doing something wrong and acting out of place.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Who's it on? Everybody.
That's right.
Right? That's right. Now, it'll make the poor act that way. It'll make the middle class act that way. It'll make the rich act that way. It'll make the wrong act that way. It'll make the pretty good act that way. And it'll make the good act that way.
Yeah.
So we're all in there somewhere.
That's right.
Right? Every one of us is in there. Because it's tension, steam buildup. You see, you got to blow it out somewhere. If you don't, you're going to blow up your boiler. And he says that's the way you find out. It builds up as the day goes on. You talk to your boss, and if you're working, and you say, "Oh, and so and so," and you speak to the kiddies, "Come in here, Mama." And there you are. It builds up. He said, "Oh my, see, I feel like my head's going to come off. Brother Bam said, I know, I'm with it every day too. So, I know what it means. So it's becoming just a neurotic age, and everybody, it's all built up, haven't got no time, and that builds up to a place where it breaks up things because it causes you to have hard feelings when you snap off and you say things you don't mean to, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen this. Now, everybody's guilty. I'm guilty, Brother Bram said. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We do things under pressure that we wouldn't do otherwise. So there's an excess pressure buildup, I believe. And he said, before I go any further, I might say this. I believe it's the enemy coming down and pressing. I believe it's the devil. And we know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the Bible said it's the last days and that the devil would go about like a roaring lion, you know, seeking whom he could devour. And if he can get you under pressure, hurry, run, do something, run over something, you'll make decisions that you wouldn't make if you'd sit down and think it over.
Right.
I mean, that's tactics of sales and stuff like that, pressure, you know, the auctions, you know, the urgency.
Right.
Satan can get you all under pressure and create an urgency, and then you'll make a decision, but there's virtue in sitting back and stopping and thinking about it for a while, praying about it for a while.
Right.
You know, I know that sometimes people feel like I'm kind of slow. I know, but I just have to do it until I come to the place and my wife's like, but I have to, you know, I have to until I come to a place where I feel like I've got a go-ahead from the Lord,
right?
And so they say patience is a virtue, but that, you know, I don't know. I think it is, but that's my nature. So. So he says, this nervous, neurotic age that we're living in, and you all know, you know, the doctors don't have an answer because they're playing with it too. They don't have an answer. You say, well, doctor, you know, he says, well, I have it too. So he said, there's nothing we can do. He would give you a tranquilizer, and when that wears off, you'd be more nervous as he was in the first place. It'd be like a drunk man, taking another drink to try and get over his drunkenness. You see, there is no answer. They have no answer, but God has the answer. Christ is the answer to every problem that we've got. Amen. Christ is the answer to every problem that we have. So, I got a lot of pages I got to keep track of here. You remember, we say it all the time, mentioned it the other day, remember Christ on every verse and every line in the scriptures, right? Go back and read it. You don't see him. So, in the Old Testament, we didn't read it because it's lengthy, but it's in Numbers chapter 35. You can find this. In the Old Testament, they had these cities that they called cities of refuge. And so, they gave a lot of cities to the Levites, the priesthood, and gave them a certain amount of land and so many cities. And six of those cities were called cities of refuge that you read there in Numbers 35. And so here was the whole concept behind that, that if you had mistakenly killed someone, maybe if you were, you know, chopping wood and your axe hand, you know, flew off the head and landed and hit somebody, or you threw a rock and hit somebody you didn't mean to, if you killed someone and you didn't mean to do that, the law said that, hey, that family member who died, that person who died, had family members who could pursue you and they could kill you. Yeah. It was okay for them to do that. And so when that happened, you were actually innocent, but they could come after you. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, that type of thing. And so God made provisions. Now keep in mind, Christ in the Old Testament on every verse, every line. So this person, when he saw this happen, knowing that family would be after him to pursue him and to kill him to get vengeance, then God made it possible for him to flee to one of these six cities, a city of refuge. And so he would go there to that city and he would declare his case and they would look it over. And then when they accepted him in there, he could live inside that city of refuge and the slayers could not come and get him. They couldn't touch him because he had reached this city of refuge. And so, this is kind of the thought here that I wanted to, you know, talk about here. So, that man, you know, obviously knowing that people was coming after him would be under pressure, as Brother Ben said. So, speaking about this situation of the man we just talked about there, he said he couldn't stop nowhere. He was a fugitive. He didn't know what to do, and so he was on the run. This man was on a run. He's trying to get to the city of refuge. And he said, the very type of today, I think it's what's causing people to so much pressure is we're on the run. And that's what's the matter in the world. We know that they're wrong. We know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And pressure is building up. And they're on the run. Right? It's the age. He said it's a neuro, but it's the age has come to this, and it's on everybody and all around the world.
Right.
And so it's the age. It's the result of the fall, and it's everything. But remember, everything plays right into God's hands.
Right.
And so he said, they're on the run. And here's what he says. Roadhouses, gambling den, luxury, sin, immoral decay, anything to give vent.
Right.
Now, they're under pressure, and it's an age of pressure that's on everybody, and the devil's behind it, but God is over the whole thing, and it'll play into God's purpose, right? And so there's a great pressure, and it's on all of us, and they're doing anything they can to give vent, going to roadhouses, gambling dens, luxury, sin, immoral decay, listen to television, dirty jokes, anything to give vent. This is what people are doing. They're on the run. Something's fixing to happen. They know it. And they're drinking themselves to death with pleasures and everything else on the run.
Yeah.
They know there's just something fixing to happen. The world speaks of it. We know that something's fixing to happen. The world may blow up before daylight. He was just, you know, saying that then, and that's true today. Mm-hmm. Every nation is under tension.
Amen?
Every nation is under tension. And I think if we could be honest with ourselves, you know, that's one thing that everybody must do. You must be honest with yourself.
That's right.
You must be honest with God.
Right.
You can't lie to him. You can't pull wool over his eye. He knows. So the best thing you do is just go ahead and be honest with yourself and say, I've been putting on, or I've been whatever it is, whatever the problem is, be honest with yourself.
Right.
Because he sees, he knows, and you're, you know. And so you might fool man, and you might fool yourself for a while, but if you stop and think about it, there's a little voice down in there. If you know things aren't right, you know something down there is telling you that.
Yeah.
Right? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And so, Brother Bam starts telling this story about being in Africa. He said he was over in Africa, and he was hunting. And he had his binoculars. He was looking out in the field, and he saw this little bitty lamb out there, little sheep, is out there eating. And he said, it was all that pleasant, just sitting there, just eating and having a good old time. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I watched that lamb and started getting nervous.
That's right.
He said, he'd take a bite. He was nervous. And he said, what in the world's happened to that guy? And so he said, I got to looking around and using his binoculars. And he said, way off in the distance, about a half a mile away, he said, I saw a lion. He said he'd raise up, and then he'd look down. He'd sneak up a little further, raise up, look down. And he said something was in that sheep, told him that danger was at hand.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, something there was, danger was approaching, something inside. So Brother Brent says, that's the way it is today. There's something inside people that's letting them know something's fixing to happen. We know it. A Christian knows it. The world knows it. The drunkard knows it. The gambler knows it. The businessman knows it. The government knows it. The UN, all of them know that something's fixing to happen. It's a tension. A buildup of tension. And so everybody knows it. Because there's a little voice down inside that tells us. Amen. Tells them. They know that. You know, I remember, I don't know, it might have been before COVID, but you could talk to people, just I remember sitting down to a restaurant one day eating lunch, and there was some guys sitting at the table next to me, and I mean, just big old burly guys, and just, you know, I've seen them there before, you know, just filth and out of their mouths and all that, and they're sitting there and they're talking and all, they're like, they're saying this right here. They're like, man, this world's messed up. Something's going on. So, you know, here they are, they cuss words out of every other words, you know, but they themselves are talking about this thing's done.
Yeah.
You know? So everybody knows. Right? It's just, what do you do with that? Yeah. When you know this is coming, you know something's wrong, what do you do? Because now everybody's under pressure, everybody's under tension now because of what everything, and so what do you do? Well, he said some of these people, they go to roadhouses and they go to all these pleasures of life and drinking and all that. That's their way, trying to give vent to the pressures of the hour, when there's only really one way to relieve that pressure. Yeah. And that's to get to the city of refuge, as we want to just lay it out this morning. And so that's the way it is today. So Brother M goes on and he says, now, if you don't, you know, we said a while ago, if you kill a man by accident, you didn't mean to do it, then God's got a city of refuge for you. Now, if you mean to do it, that's a different story. And so that's a type of us today, a type of us in sin and so forth. You know, we're all under the pressure of the enemy coming to get us because we're sinners, right? And so we want to get to the city of refuge, which is Jesus Christ. Right. We want to get to him. And once you get to him, then and he receives you in, then the enemy can't get to you. There's Christ on every verse and line in the Old Testament. There's another example.
Right.
See? And that life, people live lives like that for hundreds of years back there under the law of God, which was pointing to the fact that Christ, we could come to Christ. He would be that man that we just talked about that would be a covert from the storm, like a shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land that we could run to get out from the heat. He would be like a river in a dry land, right? So he would be the answer to everything, and he would be this city of refuge that we could go to so the slayer could not get to us. So if you didn't mean to do that, then God has a way for you. He says, now, the people could come to this city of refuge if accidentally he'd done something wrong, he didn't mean to. He would come to the city of refuge and go to the gate, and the keeper would ask him, why are you coming, and what's the idea of coming? And his case was pleaded, and then when his case was pleaded at the gate, and the man found innocent, he did not willfully. And then the man was taken into the city as a place of refuge, and then the enemy could not get him. And so the whole world is underneath that pressure. He says, now, Brother M says, now, there's something that went with that. He said, of course, the man would be nervous. Maybe a dozen men behind him somewhere, every rock, every hill, every bush, the enemy, somebody was standing ready for him. So he was nervous. And then when he got into this city, he could let off the pressure. He was safe. He was all right. Because there was a provided place for him. God's provided way for the innocent man not to be slain. And he could be exempted from being slain because he did it accidentally. Now, if he didn't mean to do it. Brother Bram is emphasizing on that. If he didn't mean to do it, then there was a way made for him. Don't let me lose you. Because there's more that comes with that. So, in my comments on this is that if you know you've not come to this city of refuge, then you should be nervous. You should be concerned, right? Because that's what it's there for. And I've mentioned it many times, I think, in the past. You know that we're in a warfare. We're soldiers for the Lord. And, you know, the scripture said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the cares of this life, that he may please him who's called him to be a soldier. We're all soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't, on the battlefield, you've got to be very careful what you pack with you. And what you have is very refined. You can't just pack around a lot of stuff that it's like even going hiking or something like that. You can't just drag a bunch of stuff that's worthless. You only take what you believe you'll need. And that's it. And so you can't be dragging around, you know, a great big huge queen size bed with you so you can nap every night.
Yeah.
You know, that don't work if you're a soldier. It's very refined down. And so there is this concept of us as Christians, there's a refinement process of what we have and we allow in our lives.
Yes.
That we can be good soldiers.
Amen.
Because you can pack things that will make you ineffective. And you can try that. You can try to take things, but we want to assess ourselves, be honest with ourselves and say, you know, what am I grabbing and taking with me every day in my as I go out to the battlefield every day, and you'll find out a lot of time we're taking stuff that's hindering us from being a good soldier.
Right.
And so if we know, like I said, if we've not got to this city of refuge, then we should be concerned. Because as I was saying, as a soldier, we're out here on the battlefield, we need to realize there's devils behind every tree, behind every rock, and Brother Ram said it that way. You know, behind everything, there's something there. And we have to realize that everything that man generates,
yeah,
programs, apps, school, whatever, there's devils behind every bit of that because he's in control of it. And his idea is to take you out. And so you've got to be on guard.
Sure.
When you send your kids to school, be on guard.
Right.
Because they'll pump this gender stuff into them.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Everything. When you go to the store, we should do that. We go to the store, we should look, and knowing that these things that are developed, just like Brother Brent, all these hybrid foods and all that, and I realize it's hard. Right? But you see what I'm saying? We have to be proactive, not just reactive. We have to be good soldiers and assess these things and realize that there is devils, there is enemy behind every bush, every rock.
Yeah.
And so as this man was fleeing, trying to get to the city of refuge, he didn't just kind of lay out, you know. No, he had to realize, listen, these guys are after me. They're after me to kill me, and they might be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Winston, because of that, he would be under tension. He would be under, and so tension actually is a good thing. He talks about this in a different place there. The tension actually drives you to Christ, drives you to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sure.
So when you got something bothering you, get to that city of refuge. Get to the Lord. Talk to him about it. Lay it at his feet. And when he says, you know what, I've heard your case. You're innocent. I'm going to take you in. And I don't care what anybody else says. When he says you're innocent, when he takes you in, you're safe. Right? Because
right.
We can all say, well, we've all done things wrong and made mistakes and we sin and sometimes do things. But I want to continue on and let you see some more things Brother Branham said about this. And so, you know, we'll get there in just a minute. But the whole thing with what I'm saying there is that Satan's got distractions. If he can get you, if he can do something to make you feel like you're not under pressure, because you've not got there yet, you feel like you're not under pressure, he'll get you to slow down and then he can get you. Right?
Right.
That's the whole thing there. And so, how's he slow them down, you know? Because they get distracted. And so now they're going to bar rooms and roadhouses and televisions and all kinds of things. Anything that they can do to make them feel comfort and peace rather than facing the issue that they've not reached that city of refuge yet. That's the thing. And so Satan throws everything out there. And I'll go ahead and add to the list, you know, as Brother Bram said, you know, the different things, immoral living and all that. But televisions and apps and programs and just you name it. Anything that can cause you to not be to cope with the pressure of realizing, hey, I'm not right with the Lord. I've not really got to where I need to be in these things. Anything that comes along like that, that's an enemy trying to distract you.
Yeah.
So that they can get to you before you get to Christ, the city of refuge. And so that's how he does it. It's always hard to to minister when you have a lot of quotes to read, because you have to follow after, you know, a sequence or whatever, but you bear with me, so I'll get this done here in just a little bit. So people get distracted. I think I've told the story before. I worked with a guy one time, a little bit short guy. His name was Darren Lamb. Maybe his name even, you know, I think if things happen so for a reason, you know, so maybe even you could have a testimony and tell somebody, maybe like I reflect back on this story, but worked at a grocery store. It's right here where the library is now. It was Hayes Food. So we worked there, worked nights, got off work at midnight. And on a Sunday afternoon, he was over in Fort Smith somewhere one day, and he was going along somewhere, and he looked, and there was a bunch of guys beating up on this some person. Well, Darren was, you know, he was short, but he was very good at a special martial arts. Well, he just went in there and delivered the guy from all these guys. And he put somebody in the hospital in the process of saving this guy that was being... And so, anyway, these guys, it was all part of a game. Well, they found out where he worked. And so the next day on Monday, you know, we come from school, went to school in Alma. We come in there and we're working, and here comes all these guys, gang members in the store. You know, they knew they couldn't really do anything in the store, but they come to the end of the aisle and they let Darren know, when you get off work, buddy, it's over with for you. So the whole evening, we're like, what are we going to, you know, how are we going to deal with this? We get off work at midnight there, you know. And so next thing we look out there, and all four of his tires are flat. They've punctured them. So, you know, that's how they're going to get him. And so we even called the police and told them what was going on. And so the police parked across the road kind of a little ways over, and you could just see the little bit of their car sticking out. They was over, and so they were watching. And so we get off work, and at that time, there was a truck stop up on the hill. It was open, and maybe we could even do tire stuff at night time. And so we were going to just take all his tires off and go up there and see if we could get him going again, you know. So we get off work at midnight, and it's me and him and two or three other guys, and the manager was there, and we're out there, and we're working to change these tires. And so if you look for that police officer, you know, right across the parking lot, past us to the edge of the building we worked in, there was an alleyway back there. And so we're sitting there working, and all of a sudden this real beautiful woman walks up. "Hi, Darren. You remember me?" And Darren's, I mean, you know, very convincing.
Sure.
He was convinced that he knew her from somewhere, because she knew his name, and she was... And I mean, right off the bat, I mean, just that quick, as soon as she walked up, I'm like, okay, I know what this is. I know exactly what this is. And Darren, you know, he liked to smoke marijuana. And so she's like, "Hey, you know, come over here. Let's go back here and smoke some, you know." And he just, is it like his eyes just glazed over? You know, he was going. I'm like, "Darren, this is a setup, dude." Yeah. You know, he wouldn't listen. He couldn't hear. And I, without even looking, I knew for a fact what was going to be in that alleyway. And I walked over real quick, and sure enough, there was a whole bunch of men right there around that corner, and they were waiting. And all they had to do was get him to walk just around that corner, and it would have been, his life would have ended. And he just wouldn't listen. "Darren, don't listen to her." And I grabbed him and I drug him over. I said, look. And he shook out of it.
Yeah.
His life would have ended because he was being distracted by Satan.
Yeah.
And this is the way the devil works. That's distractions,
right,
get you so that the enemy can get you.
Yes.
And so I've tried to find him lately, and I don't even know if he's still alive, because I ain't found any traces. I just would like to reach out to him and maybe minister to him, let him know, hey, there's a message. And so, but I witnessed that myself and see, you know, this, and there's many men have lost their lives because of stuff like that.
That's
you
right.
know. And so That's just the way the devil works.
Right.
Now, if you didn't mean to do it, then there was a city of refuge. I want to address that now. Brother Bam says, now there are two classes of people today, may I say this. There is men and women in this world that really don't want to do the things they're doing. There's men and women in the world today that don't want to sin. And I feel sorry for them. They don't want to do anything wrong, but they do it. They're drove to it. Now think of the pressure of the age. Because remember what he said, under the pressure of the age, if you can't let off the pressure, under that pressure, you'll do things. Your character, you'll fly off the handle, you'll do things that's not right because of the pressure. Now the devil wants to make you think that's you.
That's
but
right.
You go no down inside your heart, I don't want to do wrong. I want to do right and live for the Lord.
Right.
But the pressures of the age is, and it might be, you know, job pressures, it might be family pressures, but just look at the whole scope, the entire age. Satan's eaten and everything he's got developed to make it so easy for people to fall.
Yes.
It's a pressure pushing people into pornography and pushing people off into drinking and drugs and all the things. A pressure, but yet there's people, and Brother Williams, there's two classes of people, and there are men and women that do not want to sin, but they do it because they're drawn to it. And said, now there's a place for that person that wants to do right. There, in other words, there is a city of refuge for you if you want to do what's right. It's not about the things that's pressed you and caused you to do things you shouldn't do. But if in your heart you know, I don't want to be that way, then there is a city of refuge for you.
Amen.
There's a place that you can go to, Christ Jesus. And so there's a place for the person who wants to do right. And there's a place to let off that pressure.
Right.
Well, you know, if you let off the pressure, then it won't be pressuring you into doing things.
Mm-hmm.
When you give your life to Christ, then the things of the world start falling off.
Yeah.
Because you're getting rid of the pressure and you're getting rid of the things of this world that's pushing you into doing things wrong.
That's right.
You're getting rid of the pressure of even the things in your own flesh. Because that's the way to get free from all that, is to get up to loose off the pressure. And so, Brother Ram said it's true. He said, but there's some that don't care.
Yeah.
So there's some people, that's the two classes. There's some people, they don't care. They just sit down. But to those who want to do right, there is a city of refuge for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thank God for that. Now, Brother Rim says, he was telling a story about a man in prison. He went fishing somewhere inside some place, and there was a man in prison. He was a prisoner, but he was, I guess, like a guide or something. And Brother Rim was able to fish. And so he said to this man, why are you in here? Why are you? And the man said, well, he said, it's really my own fault. He said, I got among the wrong crowd. And he said, one day a couple of my friends come over to the house and they said, hey, you know, we want to go get some groceries. Take us up here to this store to get groceries. And his wife said, don't you do it. You need to stay away from them guys. He said, well, honey, they need some groceries. I'll take them up there, you know. He says, let me just give them the car. She said, oh, they'll tear it up, you know. So she said, well, you take them up there and get groceries, and you know. Come right back or whatever. So he takes them up there. Those two men go inside and they rob the store. They come out with their guns, you know, and he's like, you're not getting in my car. And they hit him on the head and put the gun to his head and tell him, you know, he's like, and while he's struggling with them trying to get in the car and make him be a getaway car for him, the police show up. Well, he's railroaded. They won't listen to his story. He's railroaded in the courtroom, and he gets 10 years in prison, and that's why he was there. Now, Brother Rick said, that man deserves a chance because he did not mean to do that. It was like, and so he was using that as an example,
yeah.
Right? Sometimes Satan, he's got the traps. Most of the time, he's got traps for you. And just remember that, you know, if that's not what you wanted to be and what you want to do, then God's got us a way of escape for you.
Yeah.
So he's telling that story there. He said, now that man, innocent man, he said, that man should have a chance. Now, if you want to do right, he said, I'm so glad not to tell you that there is a city of refuge. That's Jesus Christ. If you don't want to do wrong, the enemy is after you, then there's a way of escape. And that escape is Jesus Christ. There's a place where you can come and let off the steam. But if you love to sin and you don't want God, then the enemy is going to overtake you somewhere. He says you can't come to Christ because you don't want to. But what if you do want to? Right? That's me saying that part. What if you do want to? Amen. So back to the city of refuge. He said, when a man in the Old Testament, when he come to the city of refuge, he said, the first thing is, he had to come upon his own free will. So you have to make a choice. If you want to come to the city of refuge and be free from these things, you have to do it by free choice. You can't be forced into it or tricked into it or manipulated into it. You have to come with a sane decision of free will to come to it. He said, that's the way you have to come to Christ. And another thing, you must be satisfied while you're there. You can't hang around every day crying, oh, I'd like to get out of here, I'd like to get out of here. He said, they'll put you out. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. You must be willfully want to stay. It must be that you must want to stay in that city. And when you come to Christ, you can't look back to the world.
Yeah.
The Bible said, he that puts his hand to the plow and turns and looks back is not worthy of plowing. You're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Right? If you put your hand on the plow. I've tried this years ago when I were growing up and we would have to do tilling and stuff for my grandma. And I'd try that. The best way to have a straight line is look at the end.
That's right.
And to stay there. And so, but if you take your hand and you're supposed to plow straight rows, if you look back while you're plowing, you're going to have a...
Right?
And it's just a simple concept. And Jesus said, so as Brother Brennan's referring to this, once you come to the Lord, if you turn around and look back to the world and say, oh, I wish I was back in Egypt where they had garlics and all the good stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be out here where there's trials. You're not even worthy of the kingdom of heaven,
right.
You know, in that attitude. And so, Bible said he puts his hand in the plow and looks back. He's not worthy of plowing. And now, there's where so many so-called Christians make their mistake. They act like they're going to plow, but first thing that comes along, they blow up about it. See? So he starts talking about, you know, many of you know that Brother Graham had a rifle that blew up in his face. And there is a rifle, a Weatherby Magnum, which is a real gun that is made. And someone had it, I think Brother Graham had a rifle, and somebody said, hey, you know what? You can have that gun bored out to become a Weatherby Magnum. So he went and sent it off and had him do it. And when he got it back and he shot it, it blew up. And metal in his eyes and all kinds of stuff. It's a wonder that it didn't kill him. Mm-hmm. And so Brother Brandon was saying about that. He said, but because it was tried to be converted to something that it really wasn't, then it blew up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If that gun would have been a real from the manufacturer. And so will every man find the same thing that professes to be a Christian that doesn't get right from the start from the new birth. He'll blow up somewhere. There's too much pressure on it. It won't stand it. He'll find himself blown up somewhere. People trying to impersonate somebody's ministry that hasn't been called to do it, finally going to blow up. You've got to be ordained of God.
Amen.
So that's the whole thing. We cannot build off of today off of something that wasn't genuine to begin with.
Right.
It all starts at your conversion, right off the bat, coming to God sincerely, repentant of your sins. And God can build on that.
Amen.
And it'll take you to a place where you can stand the pressures of being a Christian in this end time. So Brother Bram says, if you're worried about anything, If you're all pressured up, you don't know where you're going, what's going to happen to you after death, and you know you're going to die sometime, you've got to do it, then the one thing is to come to Christ, the refuge, and let off the pressure. Settle it once and for all. No matter what takes place, Christ is our refuge, and when we come to him, we can let off the pressure. You can quit worrying about, well, if I die, what's going to happen to me? How many of you ever asked that question? Well, if I die, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my wife? What's going to happen to my husband? What's going to happen to my children? Just come to Christ and let off the pressure. He gives us all things, and all things are ours by Christ, so just let off the pressure the only way that you can do it. Amen. You know, if we look to the world for what can only come from Jesus Christ, it's not going to work. Right? And this age is becoming a pressure for that very purpose. For everybody to realize the world is falling apart. It has come to the end. Everything is failing except your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your flesh, if you live long enough, will fail.
Right.
Right? This church, one day, will be ashes. This building. You know, one day I won't be here. One day Brother Daniel won't be here. See, it's all, everything in time is coming in. And so the only thing you can have peace and confidence is the city of refuge, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And if we try to look to the world, we're just going to be disappointed. After we sing that song, Empty and Bare, right? I've had it all, but what I need is more of you. Because the world leaves you empty and bare. Brother Ben said, if somebody gave you $1 million, it would just build up pressure. Think about it. You say, man, if I had $1 million, it wouldn't get rid of the pressure that we're talking about.
Yeah,
it would make it worse.
Right?
You got to come to the place where these things, that all this pressure is let off, and there's only one place that can do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So if somebody gave you $1 million, it just build up pressure. You might join a church and it would just build up pressure because the Methodists will tell you they're right and the Baptist is wrong, and the Baptists say they're wrong and we're right. So it just builds up pressure because you don't know where you stand. See, if you're putting confidence in the church and joining a church or whatever, then what are you doing? Well, they're saying they're right and this one's saying no, they are. And down here in man's system, they're arguing with one another. And what we need to do is be brought up into God's realm where we see it his way, and you'll know where you stand.
Amen.
And all the pressure will be let off at that point, and you won't have to worry about it. And so the more things you have in this life tangible, the more trouble.
That's right.
The more assets you have, physical assets, the more you've got to protect, the more you got to worry about somebody stealing, or more it breaking and keeping it up. Right? Because everything in time decays.
That's right.
And the more you have, the more we bring into our lives to be shepherd over,
yep,
causes us more pressure.
That's right.
So perhaps that's why when we leave this world, we take no physical possessions with us. Because they create pressure.
Yep.
Right? Not telling you not to have a house or anything, but you understand. We live in this world. But you know, sometimes we just take into our lives so much stuff, it just causes us more troubles, more pressures, more things.
Yeah.
You know, we had a good time yesterday, but I'm pretty sure Sister Vicky was under pressure for a month. Right? You know, we do things, right? And so the way to do it is just to let off the pressure and get to the city of refuge. And so no matter what, and I say, I title this End Time because here at the end time, this age is allowed to bring us to this kind of pressure.
Right.
And so, but God has a refuge for us. And it's an end time message, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We understand that. And to me, that's why Brother Branham, when he preached the rapture in Psalms 27, in a time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, in a secret place. what you and I get to feast upon and what we get to enjoy in fellowship with the Word is a secret place to us.
Yeah.
The world don't see it. They're not there. But it is a secret place to us, and it is our refuge. We throw ourselves into what God has revealed to us. That is our Christ. That is our, in word form, that is our husband. That's our refuge. It will keep us. Right?
Right.
Not that we keep it, but it will keep us. Like Brother Brent said, they said, did you keep your religion? No, it kept me.
That's right.
Right? And so this message is our refuge. And it is what God has brought. And at end time, there is a pressure being allowed to come on the entire earth. Remember, the next to the last church age, he said to them, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the earth. Well, if they were the next to the last age and it hadn't happened yet,
yep,
it's got to be now.
Right.
And he told them he'd keep them from it. But here we are in this age, an age that will be a temptation to come upon all the people on all the earth. But in that time, God provides a way of escape to this city of refuge, a word, the word that has come, a message that has come. And so Brother Bam, in Psalms 27, saying rapture, and we're all like, okay, we want to know how our bodies are going to be changed. And he preaches this, in a time of trouble, he'll keep me. He'll put me in a secret place. And during that time, I'll have one thing on my mind, and that is that I may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire him in his temple.
Yes.
Right? And that's the desire of the believer's heart. So part of the rapture is him keeping us in a time of trouble.
Mm.
That's part of it. What difference does it make if it's if everything is just crumbling and everything in time is just going to obliterate and we find ourselves in time and he takes us and gives us a body change and puts us over there and now we're protected from what is falling apart? What difference does that make from we're still here and things are going on and he keeps us? The only difference is we're here and he's keeping us, and then he puts us there and he's keeping us.
Yeah.
But the same keeping power that can give you a body change can keep you here.
Yeah.
So Brother Rim says, I met a woman years ago, and he said she had two sons that were older than him, that were attorneys, I think what he said. They were older than him, and he said she didn't look like she was 30 years past 30. And I think he asked her about it. You know, how is it? And she, you know, because you know stress makes you age, stress gives you all kinds of. And so he asked her about it. And she said, well, she said years ago, like she was a teenager, she said, when I give my heart to the Lord, she said, I sat down and I thought about it. I weighed it all out. And she said, I said, you know what? I'm giving it all to him. And I'm not going to worry about it. Because, she said, I know that if he can't handle it, I can't.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to give it all to him. And he said she had a very peaceful life, had raised two sons, and they, you know, had become attorneys and so forth. And that's the thing. Get to that place where peace reigns in your heart.
Yeah.
Over all things.
Yes.
And identify things in your life that brings troubles against that. And remove those things from your life so that you can walk in peace of God that passes all understanding.
Yes.
Knowing that no matter what happens, he's got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's our city of refuge for today and the end time. Mm-hmm. It's a glorious message that has unveiled Christ to us. You know, kind of a little bit of an adult way of speaking of it, but you know what happens in consummation. And Christ is the Word, and he has revealed, he's unrobed much of the details of his presence to us. And we're intimate with that. And that's how you know this bride is making herself ready, because she's involved in that kind of secret place with him. And at some point, he'll take her home to be with him.
Amen.
So let's let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to him. Let me encourage you this morning that, you know, if you know, hey, you know, there's places in my life that I'm not too at peace with, well, right now would be a good time to settle it. You'll never be able to get anywhere with God until you take him at his word, at his promise. He's promised that if you'll come to him, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Brother Brim said, shall not come to judgment. So it's real simple. So if you have, you say, you know, well, Brother Tony, I gave my heart to the Lord years ago, but I'm troubled about something. Well, just take that thing that you're troubled about and just bring it to the Lord. Just like if you were repenting, the first time repenting, just saying, Lord, I don't know, I can't work it out. Like Brother B.J. Ryan, a friend of mine years ago, he's passed on, but he would, I think, you know, and I've said it many times, when the man said, he went up and prayed, and he didn't know what to pray. He just said, Lord, fix me. And later on, after he was had prayed and everything was okay, somebody asked him, so what happened? He said, I don't know. All I know is that the Lord fixed me. And the Bible tells us to be careful not to be beguiled of the simplicity that's in Christ. Man makes it complicated, but it's not complicated. So you bring whatever it is on your heart, you bring it to the Lord now in prayer as we pray. And believe that He'll take it from you. He'll give you that peace. Amen. Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you for your word. Because here in this end time, Lord, all the way down here in the world, absolutely just in chaos, but you're still present, Lord, confirming your promises and being here as a faithful witness to your people. Lord, that you brought a word to us in this hour that will keep us. And so, Lord, this morning, as we've shared these things with your people, with your children, Lord, we ask God that they would just be able to reach over and latch hold of them and draw them down into their hearts. Lord, that they would be able to apply these into their life daily. Lord, we know that your word says it's not just a hearer of the word, but it's the doer. And Lord, that seems to be a place where a lot of us struggle sometimes. We hear your word, we believe it, we know it's right, but we need help, Lord, to transition it into our actions so it becomes something that we live each day. That when the enemy comes to us, like he's done so many times, to distract us and to challenge us, that in those moments, we remember these things. We don't forget them and fall into his trap, but we remember at that time these words, and we're diligent to seek it behind me, Satan. I pray, God, that you will deliver that kind of experience into the hearts of each of your children, Lord, that they be stronger as they go forward. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Everybody. pretty much knows anyway, but Faith Tabernacle there in Galena, Missouri is having their annual meetings September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Everyone is invited to that. Like I said, most of you probably already know about it, but just in case you don't, so there'll probably be some of us there during those meetings. We went last year and had a really good time. Big Brother Darrell Ward and Brother Ben Pruitt will be ministering there. So if you have any questions, this paper is here, shows the times and so forth there. But just know that everyone is invited. Brother Ben Beard is a precious brother to us, and he's always been very reciprocating with fellowship with us. And so we just certainly want to support him as we should. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We'll sing this again as you're dismissed.